Hello and welcome to Dunktown.
Hi.
I'm Anastasia.
And I'm Agata. And guys, we got a special guest for you today. He's the writer on I Love You America with Sarah Silverman. And you know him from Doughboys. It's Nick Weiger.
Hi.
Hi. Oh,
what a thrill to be here on Dunktown.
Oh,
very, very excited. What better way to celebrate LeBron's birthday?
It's LeBron's birthday.
LeBron turns 34 today.
That's true.
I'm wearing his jersey. I'm honoring the man,
who
is probably having 3 bottles of red wine today to celebrate.
I should have worn my LeBron jersey. I didn't realize.
Do you have a Lakers one?
I do.
Oh, very sharp. Yeah,
I do. And happy birthday to the king.
We know you're listening.
Right.
And we just hope you're having a fun day.
Yeah, he's a big NBA podcast consumer. I know he's listening.
Is that true?
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be great if he was. Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, LeBron's on the Flagrant Ones Patreon. It's weird.
That would be amazing.
That would be so cool. Thank you so much for being here. We're so excited to have you.
Very excited. Very excited during your theme song. The listeners don't know this, but your producer, Gabe, does a little shimmy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Started dancing along a little bit. It was great.
Yeah, Gabe.
He's a real dance head.
He loves to dance and loves our theme song.
We all love the song.
It's a good song.
Yeah. Shout out to Andrew Clotworthy for making us that beautiful song.
Musician and friend.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your history with basketball. Did you play when you were a kid?
I played a little bit, but I mean, I was not very, this was like on the amateur youth league, like level, like the park league sort of thing as a kid.
I was
never any good. Not very athletic, an asthmatic kid, a doughy kid.
But
I always was a fan of the game and always was a fan of the Lakers because I grew up in Southern California.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up in LA County and I was born in 1980, and through the 80s, the Lakers were just like the coolest. Like they were just like especially like living around here. It was just like Magic Johnson, James Worthy, Kareem, Byron Scott, Kurt Rambis, you know, all those guys. Everyone was like, they were lionized locally. I had one of the first pieces of sports memorabilia that I had was like a Lakers 1987 championship pin. It was just like one of those pins that it was just like on a corkboard in my
bedroom.
That's
so cool.
Yeah, yeah. And I never remember starting to watch basketball. I don't remember when my fandom began. I just always remember liking the Lakers and always thinking they were cool. And they are like, you know, we talked about this a little bit before the show started. They are reviled, I feel like, league wide. It's like, that's like, is that the them or the Celtics are both are like the villains of the league, you know?
Or the Warriors.
The Warriors. Yeah. Yes, definitely the Warriors now. Yeah. Historically, I mean, the Lakers, maybe Celtics, but yeah, right now, the Warriors are the villainous team. It is the kind of thing where like I do kind of feel that burden sometimes. I do kind of feel like oh, I don't want people to think like I just started being a Lakers fan or that I'm just or that I moved to LA and became a Lakers fan. How do I communicate to people that I know that I grew up liking this team and this is my team and I'm not like someone who who saw like the Patriots win Super Bowls and was like, now I'm a Patriots fan.
Right.
I know it's not that sort of fandom.
Okay.
So that's the one thing I'm self-conscious about. Which I'm sure was the goal of this podcast, right? Was to talk about my own like neuroses.
Well, I think a lot of people would relate to that with any fandom.
Right.
Because even if you're like a fan of like a TV show that just barely got popular or a band that just barely got popular and you're like, oh, I've liked them for so long. How do I communicate that without seeming, you know, like a bandwagoner?
Right.
And I feel that kind of with the Warriors because I love the Warriors, but I'm so hesitant to wear any of their gear here.
For sure.
Because there's so many people that wear Warrior shirts and stuff here.
Right.
It's wild. And I'm like, oh, you maybe are from the Bay, but maybe not. Maybe just like, you know, that they're winning or whatever. It's cool to wear their stuff.
You got to go with like the Mitch Richmond throwback or something like that.
Yeah.
You got to wear something that's not from this current era to sort of like prove your bona fides, I guess. But yeah, it is a weird pressure. And I think probably, you know, the good thing about LeBron is that I think LeBron being here is that now you can just there are like sort of LeBron fans in the fold, and I think there are a lot of people who are just like a player or a personality, and they follow, you know, they're just going to follow LeBron wherever he goes, and there's no stigma with that, really. That's just sort of a thing. So like I feel fine wearing the LeBron jersey because people think I'm a Lakers fan or think I'm a LeBron fan. Either way, like that's fine, you know.
We're kind of like casual, like we just like good basketball.
Right.
We like to watch fun games and fun players. So we're not really like that.
I think we frustrate a lot of people because they're like, want, you know, some kind of loyalty or, and we're just like, oh, this guy's good. And it's fun to watch him.
You guys need to have an intense emotional attachment to a city. That's a team. The team is like a bunch of rented strangers.
Yeah.
And this is like, this is the only thing your life hinges on. Like your happiness is based on whether this team wins or loses. That's the only logical way to live.
Yeah. I mean, that feels like torture because anyone can be traded at any moment.
Exactly. Right.
You
yeah.
can't be too attached to any one person.
I mean, except maybe LeBron. I think he's probably going to stay on the Lakers for, you know, ever.
I mean,
now.
Maybe. Who knows?
It's hard to say. It's also, too, it's like that's an interesting development that I've seen in the course of my NBA fandom. I guess it maybe kind of began with Jordan, although Jordan was with the Bulls for basically his entire career. I mean, the little Wizards coda, I think a lot of people don't really count the idea of having like fixating on one player that you're a fan of rather than a team you're a fan of.
Yeah.
And that's interesting to see. I you know, certainly seeing it with LeBron. I imagine KD's similar, although there are a lot of his OKC fans, I feel like, felt abandoned when he moved teams.
Right.
But yeah, I think we're going to see more of that, more people just like fixating on a player and following their career.
How do you feel about the Lakers fans who are like kind of hating on LeBron because they're like, Kobe's the best ever.
Yeah, I think they're idiots. I think that drives me crazy because LeBron is so amazing to watch, and it's just like, why do you have to attack his game or talk about the superiority of another player you like more for whatever reason? It's also like, I think that's also such a marginal, tiny population. That's just like it's like the Jill Stein voter of NBA fan. It's just like there's so few actual people who are like LeBron sucks despite him being like, I'm a Laker fan and I think I hate that LeBron's here. I don't think that's much of a population. Like I went to the first preseason game at Staples Center that LeBron didn't even play in. Mm. And the number of LeBron jerseys was crazy. It felt like one out of every six people in the arena was wearing a Lakers LeBron jersey that they'd just gotten.
Yeah.
Cause you know, I think overwhelmingly among the Lakers fans, there is excitement that he is here, and that's rational because he's great.
Yeah.
He's made the team better.
Yeah. I think anyone who dislikes LeBron, I get people who are like, well, I don't like him because he keeps beating my team.
Right.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like you have to appreciate how amazing he is.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's so fun to watch.
Right. I think I buy like maybe a little bit after the decision. Even after the decision, I was like, that was like done so poorly that I was kind of like, oh, that was really mean to Cleveland. And I was like, kind of like, you know, what the fuck, man? You know, like that was, I feel like that was kind of the, I feel like I don't feel that way now, LeBron. It's okay. I'm fully on board with all your decisions.
We know you're listening on your birthday.
That was maybe the one period where like that one season in Miami where I sort of got people hating on him. Mm. But other than that, he's just so great. He's so spectacular to watch.
Yeah.
It's just like, why would you think this is bad for basketball? This is wonderful.
Yeah. I didn't like him during that season when he was in Miami, because that's when the Mavs were like, you know, that was their one shot at the championship. So I had to kind of hate him in that moment.
Right.
But I've turned around on him. I'm a fan now.
That ended up being a great storyline, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that season culminating in Dirk's title was rad.
Yeah.
That Mavs championship team was a lot of fun.
Totally. What do you think the playoffs are going to look like this year?
Oh boy. So we're about 6 weeks off from the trade deadline. We're approaching the midway point of the season. I think that we're going to see, I think we're going to see the Warriors make the Western Conference Finals at minimum. I honestly think they're probably just going to go into the finals and win in like five or six games, and yeah. It's just going to be another anticlimactic finale because that's just how their run has been.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Anastasia.
Thank you.
Give another ring you can put on. But
I do get all of their rings.
Yeah, it's an interesting perk of having a basketball podcast. Yeah. You get the championship rings are your favorite team. I think it's probably just going to be the Warriors, but I think if anything interesting could happen, you know, maybe the Nuggets make some noise. I mean, they're really good. I don't think the Lakers are quite gonna be. They might make like the Western Conference Finals, but I think that's where they're gonna peak. Yeah. I think the East is gonna be pretty interesting because I think you could see, you know, the Raptors, the Bucks, mm-hmm. the Celtics all have a shot, and I kind of put my money on the Raptors making it to the finals this year. And possibly winning, depending on the matchup and injuries, you know, they could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do seem like they could win it all. I mean,
they're really good.
Yeah. And they've been really holding the number one spot in the East. So,
yeah, it's been really them and the Bucks going back and forth. Like, I think they're just so good. And they're, you know, it's weird that coaching change seems to have. I don't know if that was the difference maker or not. I don't know if Nick Nurse coming in is the reason they're, you know, obviously that's not the only, they had a major personnel change as well, but it does seem like that team is playing so, so well and so confidently. And I wonder if that will translate into a deep playoff run. Cause they have that experience on the roster.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
So you growing up in the LA area,
yes,
the Lakers weren't playing at Staples Center before. That's a newish stadium, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was the early 2000s, maybe even the year 2000 was when they moved there. The Great Western Forum was before that.
Did you go and see games?
I never saw a Lakers game at the Great Western Forum. No, yeah, I never went and saw them play there. My parents did. Mm. My parents saw, I think they even saw a Jerry West team. They saw that long ago. They saw the Lakers there. But that was like a crazy hot ticket back in the Showtime era.
I
think that's the kind of thing of like you just.
It was impossible.
Yeah, it was like financially out of reach of a lot of people. But yeah, no, I never went there.
So you started seeing them at Staples Center
live. Yes, my first live Lakers games were watching them at Staples, and that was me as a, I think maybe the first time I went was in college, and it was against the Blazers, if I'm correct, because Shaq was playing. It was a Shaq.
Oh, nice.
Shaq era team.
Cool. You got to see Shaq play.
Yeah.
So you have a food podcast.
I sure do.
Do you any arena food that you like to get or?
Wow. Yeah, now we're in my wheelhouse. I Staples Center specifically has some really good food options. Ludo Bird, I think, is probably your best bet. Ludo's really good. What do you get there?
I like to get the hot rub chicken sandwich.
Yes, yeah, that hot rub is nice. It's not too spicy, and they've got a selection of sauces there. I'm gonna say dumb down the sauces a little bit. Mm-hmm. They at one point had like a béarnaise. They had like some more, you know, some sauces that you wouldn't typically see.
Yeah.
And now they just have like, you know, like ranch and Thousand Island, mm-hmm. which are good. They're perfectly serviceable. Yeah. Honey mustard, but they had some more exotic sauces for a time. But
biscuits are so good.
Biscuits
too.
Are very good. Yeah. They got like a little lavender, a little kiss of honey. Mm-hmm. They're delightful. They got a good slaw there. So I'll go to Ludo Bird. BS Taqueria is a good bet. You know, the actual BS Taqueria is just like, it's much better, but this is a pretty good approximation, with arena caliber food. You know, they got tacos and nachos there. And honestly, I'm a big fan of getting a Wetzel pretzel there, especially as a sort of halftime treat. Mm-hmm. And then also I'll do that in arena McDonald's. They got a really good McDonald's there.
Nice.
On the third level, right?
They might have one on the third level. The first level they have one as well.
Oh, really?
And then, you know, with the King being there, now you got to hit up that Blaze Pizza.
Oh, right.
So is he like a part owner or something?
He is. Yeah, he's got a share in Blaze Pizza.
Oh, interesting.
Do you guys remember it was like before the season? It was a really weird thing where. So like Blaze Pizza tweeted, like, I think Blaze Pizza tweeted out something about like having a new deal or something for, what was the context? Oh, it was like the season coming up and they're teasing some new deal they had. And LeBron tweeted at them like, sounds good. Maybe I'll hit you up. Culver City? Question mark. And so like there's a Blaze Pizza in Culver City, and so people were like, oh, LeBron's gonna be there, and like 1,000 people lined up in Blaze Pizza the next day, and he just didn't show up. It was just like, wait, this wasn't a promotion, this was just like a lark you had, this was just like a random thought, and you decided not to follow up on it.
Oh man, so he's weird. Just drumming up business.
Yeah,
he's
guess
like
so.
Our Culver City location is really down, can you just like say Culver City in a tweet?
LeBron saying Culver City ? Is worth tens of thousands of dollars in retail sales. Yeah.
Or maybe he drove by and was like, oh my God, there's like 1,000 people here.
He didn't connect it to him. It's like, oh boy, big line.
He's like, I really want pizza, but I can't take this. Yeah.
That's funny.
But yeah, they actually had a pizza for, and I don't know why they don't still have it on the menu. They just had it for his first night, called the LeBron. Oh. It was very lucky enough to attend the first LeBron game, the first regular season game. And it was really good. It had like, I think it had chicken. It had it was a little spicy. It had I don't know if it was jalapenos. I think it had roasted red peppers and maybe a jalapeno. It was like his favorite. Mm. And I was like, they should just have this on the menu always. They should have a LeBron pizza, because this would sell out every single night.
Totally.
But it was just a one night only thing. It seemed kind of weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even in their regular locations, I'm sure people would love that.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. They definitely should do that.
But they can just build it, right? That's the whole thing. I've never been there. You're supposed to like build your own ingredients, right?
Yeah. I'm not that imaginative. Yeah. I don't have the patience to try to divine the perfect combination. I just try to take one of the prefab ones. But if there's one just called the LeBron, I'm definitely going to that.
Yeah. Okay. I hate a build your own.
Yeah. It's too much pressure.
Well, also, really I'm like, I'm not a chef.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
This combination could suck.
Yes. Yeah.
And then it's all my fault because I'm the one who made it.
Why did I think pineapple and green olives would work?
That's
a fool.
Disgusting.
And so on the flip side of that, when you're at home watching a game, what kind of snacks or drinks are you into?
That's a great question. I actually, you know, now that you mention it, I find myself cooking a lot during games.
Oh.
It's like, because our setup is, we have our kitchen is... It's like an open, our apartment has like the kitchen is open facing the living room. So I can just have the TV on a game, and then I can just be cooking something and kind of like, you know, three quarters watching it in the background. And especially if I'm making something that like, you know, I'm cooking up a pot of chili or something, that is just going to sit there and simmer for a bit, it actually works really well. But as far as snacks, wings, big wings guy. If I'm gonna order something, I think that's like kind of the ultimate snack. I don't like being this is counter to that. I don't like being too greasy or too messy.
Yeah.
So like if I am gonna have some wings, there'll be like a little binge of eating wings, and then I'll go wash my hands because I don't like having like gooey greasy hands the whole game. Chips.
Yeah.
Munch on some chips and some nuts, handful of nuts. But I'm more of a beverage guy. I feel like that's the thing. Like I like to have like a little something with a little effervescence, some sparkling water, maybe an ice cold brew dog if I want to get nuts.
Yeah,
just depends.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you go to a lot of games, but you watch the rest of them at home.
Yeah.
Poker games.
Yeah. It's an unhealthy habit. I go to a good number of games. I have a season ticket package that I split with a friend. Shout out to my friend David Phillips, DP. We split it down the middle, and then that's about 20 games, and then I'd say I attend most of those. Some of those I sell if it's just like, you know, if your beloved Warriors are in town, it's like there's such like a premium you can get from reselling that ticket on the secondary market that's kind of hard to justify it attending. Mm. I go to a good number of games each season. I watch a lot of Lakers games. I'd say I probably end up watching 60 to 70% of the season, the Lakers regular season. And then I try to watch some of the big national games as well, as many as I can. I love the league. I'm a big NBA fan, and I love, you know, the marquee players, and so it's fun to watch those matchups.
Yeah. Are you voting in the All-Star voting right now?
That's a good question. Are you guys?
I've done it 2 days.
Yeah.
I haven't done it yet, but
this is
curious.
The first time I've ever done it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I usually will cast a vote. And I will like give myself a little bit of a rule. Usually, like I don't. Well, I mean, I would never vote for a Celtic, so that's kind of my one like I'm glad thing. So I might like be like no Warriors either, no Celtics, mm-hmm. no Warriors, just something to just kind of mix it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think I'll probably have to vote. I mean, I have to vote for LeBron, especially with him on the Lakers. So I'll do that at minimum.
So who else would you vote for? Mm.
Is this taboo to ask who? Yeah. Like kind of in political elections right. where you can't really ask who people voted for.
Yeah, I need to be 500 feet legally away from where you're recording a basketball podcast to answer this question. I think it's we get two guards, three front court players in each conference. I'm worried I'm going to leave someone out, but if we start with the West guard, I feel like, I mean, I just love Westbrook so much. I love Russ so much. He's mm-hmm. he's just so fun. I think I'd go with Westbrook, and I think I would honestly, as much of a tear as Harden's on, I think I would go with Dame Lillard just because I like watching him play more, mm-hmm. and I think Harden's probably going to get in it anyway, so like that's like a situation where it's like, I'd rather throw my vote to a player I'm personally a fan of. At forward, you know, gotta have LeBron in there, gotta have the King. Durant would get one of the slots, but if I'm excluding Warriors, who else could we throw in there? Doncic? I mean, I honestly might give him a vote just because he's such a fun player. I don't think he's one of the best 10 players in the league, mm-hmm. but I mean, like it would be awesome to see him there. And then who am I missing? Who am I not thinking of?
I should look at my list.
Yeah, without the whole league in front of me, I'm just worried I'm gonna overlook someone with my minimums with my last spot.
I mean, I like Steven Adams.
He's having a great year.
Yeah. I think also I don't know how you feel about the Clippers, but I also love Montrez.
Lou Williams.
You know what?
Lou Williams is great too.
Montrez, I think, is actually like a great pick to throw in there. I think that would be like Lou's having a great season, but I think like as a third forward, that might be my guy.
I also wrote down DeAndre Ayton and Kelly Oubre just for Suns representation. But
DeAndre's playing well. I mean, like Ayton's a good player. I think he's a good pick. You know, he's kind of a throwback sort of big.
Mm.
But it'd be. I hope he prospers. I hope that Suns team turns around. Despite their, I will say, because I told you before we started recording that we by podcast Doughboys did a live show in Phoenix recently. I got a huge pop from that Phoenix crowd by saying that fuck Robert Sarver. if you want good heat in the Phoenix area, go after the Suns owner. Everyone hates him.
Yeah, everyone hates him. He keeps threatening to move the team. And my sister and her husband, who still live in Phoenix, are constantly sending me things about how horrible he is.
Yeah, he seems like a real jerk.
Yeah, he just likes to hold the city hostage to get what he wants.
Just an awful man. Just a truly awful man.
Yeah.
And he's also like, this is the other thing. Like, okay, most billionaires are going to be bad people, but like, if you're going to own an NBA team, at least be willing to spend to be on top of that, to be like cheap, to be like a penny pinching owner is just like, oh, that's just shitty. What are you doing? What are you doing to your fans? Why even own a team if you just want to use it as a profit center?
Right. Agreed. Yeah. I think that there has to be some like love in it because you're not necessarily going to, you know, like with the Suns, they're not doing so great, but you have to stick with it. And, you know, Ayton's very green. Booker's pretty young too. The whole team's very young.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're willing to grow it, you know, it could pay off.
All right. I need to backpedal for one second. because I may have caused some sort of incident here in the NBA.
No.
I somehow, you know, thinking through the whole league in the top of your head, sometimes you forget a team, sometimes you forget a player. I overlooked Anthony Davis.
Oh, yes.
And Anthony Davis, of course, is probably the best player in the league. Of course, belongs on the West All-Stars. I hope this does not affect his decision to possibly want to sign with the Lakers down the line. We love you here in LA. So please, AD, I accept my apologies.
We know you're listening. He does. Yeah, he's written to us. He's a big fan.
Yeah, he loves Amir's Buckets podcast, a big NBA podcast guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to have all those players in your head.
Yeah.
When I first was looking, I totally bypassed LeBron's picture. And then I was like, wait, what's missing from this?
Right.
I was like, oh, LeBron.
How could you do that on his birthday?
Oh, no.
We could just talk about the East too. Who do you have on your list?
So on the East, I felt like the East, I don't know very well because I haven't been paying attention to the league in general for that long.
Kawhi.
So I actually did not put him on, which I forgot him as well. Mm. But for guards, I put down Kemba Walker just because I really like him.
I love Kemba Walker.
He's having a great season.
Yeah.
He's such a cutie.
And I put Kyrie only, you know, I think he's great. I know, you know, people hate the Celtics, right, but I just think he's really a fun player to watch as well.
Undeniably a great player, a great talent. It's just a shame he plays for the Celtics and he's disqualified.
I also put Joel Embiid for the front court because he's very goofy.
Yeah.
And we've been watching a lot of like Instagram videos of him. He's also, you know, great. A great basketball player.
Yeah. Right.
But there was a great video with him. He was mic'd up and Journey's Don't Stop Believin' came on and he started singing along and he doesn't know any of the lyrics and it was super funny. So I was like, oh, vote for him.
That's great.
He also was like kicking a basketball, like a soccer ball for a full 2 minutes.
Everyone else is like very seriously warming up before a game and he's just goofing off and was like dancing.
If I tried to kick a basketball, like a soccer ball for even like, if I even tried to do it twice, I would somehow like tear both my ACLs.
Yeah.
Just like the amount of athleticism to do that is like crazy.
I can't even imagine. It hurts. Yeah. Those basketballs are so hard.
Yeah.
I can't imagine
kicking one.
And so much larger than a soccer ball.
Yeah.
All right. My picks. Yes, I would be. I'm. Oh, sorry. You have more, right?
No. Go ahead.
I largely in sync with you. My guards, I would go. I would also do Kemba, but I'd throw in a Victor Oladipo as well.
Yeah.
And then for the front court, got to have Embiid in there. Got to have Giannis in there.
Yeah.
And then the pivot spot beyond that.
It's tough.
It's a little
Jimmy
tricky.
Butler?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, he's in the East now. I guess he qualifies. I think I might throw Butler in there.
I also really like Siakam. And I don't know. I was also thinking, I wonder how many people are voting for the same people every day versus mixing it up, because there are too many players, I think, that I would want to vote for.
How many alt accounts is Kevin Durant using to vote for himself every day?
Also, why do they let you vote every day? It feels like everyone should just get one vote and then.
Right.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like it helps anything to have multiple
votes. So you're
votes.
For one person, one vote.
I just feel like.
Wow, bold stance. Okay.
I just feel like it's easy to, like, you know, write a bot that's going to vote for whatever.
Definitely.
For whoever a million times.
It also just asks you when you go to submit your vote, it's like, is this a shared computer? I'm like, well, no, it's not, but I'm going to say, yes, it is. So you don't stop me. So yeah, I don't know. I'm just excited to, I feel like I just turned 18 and this is my first time voting and it's really exciting.
Have you ever sat courtside at a game?
No. Oh my God. The stress. I would love it. It's financially so far out of reach for the LA teams.
Yeah,
there's actually they do a promotion at the at Staples Center at Lakers games where it's like if you win this, I think it's you listen to Mason in Ireland, this local radio show, and you can win. It used to be courtside seats. And then they moved it to like you win second row seats, and then now it's you can win fifth row seats. Like they keep moving back as tickets get more expensive. Oh, they're like this promotion is unsustainable.
Yeah.
So you can't even win your way to courtside anymore.
No.
I think like you know it probably the move is just to go to another city that with a city with a bad team and see if you can get cheap courtside seats off StubHub or something.
We've talked about it.
Yeah.
Going to Phoenix because they are pretty cheap.
Her sister went to a game recently and sat courtside.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah,
and I don't know how much it was, but from what it sounds like, it was pretty cheap. And they were watching like the Suns versus like Sacramento or something. So
sure.
It was, if I'm sure if the Lakers came, courtside seats would be, you know, still very expensive.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And
but
the Clippers ones are expensive too. They're like $2,000 still. So I can't even imagine how much the Lakers are.
Yeah. It's, you just need to give the title of your car. That's required. It's so expensive. Also, too, like, and I think we talked about a lot of this while we were watching this game of just the anxiety of like someone diving for a loose ball and like you spilling your large popcorn everywhere. I think is just ever present. And I kind of like live for that. I think that would actually be kind of exciting to be a part of that moment, to be on that, to be the doofus on that highlight reel.
Like picking popcorn,
popcorn's everywhere. I'm picking my glasses up off the floor, which I don't wear. It just appeared for this highlight. I would kind of like to have that moment, and also just to like to see that perspective, because it's just so crazy. I remember I have a friend of a friend who sat courtside through some of the talent agencies in LA. Like they have courtside seats, and so they'll just give them to clients. So that's why you'll see sometimes like a rotating cabal of celebrities just sitting in the same seats, is because they're just like a friend of a friend was represented by one of these agencies, got to sit in these seats, and said like, yeah, during the game, I heard this was when Julius Randle was on the Lakers. Like, yeah, Luke Walton and Julius Randle like getting into a fight, and Randle was like, "Fuck you, coach." I was like, "Oh my god, this is crazy!" You get to hear like intense like behind the scenes gossip that you'd never pick up on TV. I know, so it'd be amazing to be like around something like that.
Yeah, we talk about like that was one of our goals with doing the show, is that we eventually want to sit courtside so that we can hear what kind of shit they're talking.
Yeah,
like the jokes that they're making. Because always laughing
with the Warriors in particular. Anyone sitting on the bench looks like they're having the best time of their life. They're like joking with each other.
They're like guffawing, like slapping knees.
Like whenever Curry's not playing, he's like cracking jokes and everyone's cracking up. I'm like, is he actually funny?
Yeah. Right.
I don't know that he is. Maybe he is, but I just want to hear for myself.
He's just quoting Anchorman.
Yeah.
It's still just killing.
Yeah.
All these guys can't get enough.
They're like, yes.
Nope was a bad choice. Steph, you're crazy for this one.
That would be so disappointing. Yeah. He sat behind the bench and that was what was happening.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, though, if it would be fun to watch, because you're not catching all of the game that you see when you're slightly higher up or watching on TV.
I don't think it's the best viewing angle. And I think if you see... I think Denzel sits up a few rows, and I think some of the NBA fans who are a little bit more like intensely focused on the game like to sit up a little bit higher, because it's just, I remember Mitch Kupchak, he sits up when he was the GM for the Lakers, now with the Hornets. He sat up about 10 rows. He had like a little bit of a higher angle. So I think from actually watching the game perspective, it's not great. It's more just for that experience.
Yeah. Does Jack Nicholson still sit courtside for the Lakers?
He does, and he has a security guard who like sits right behind his seat just to make sure no one approaches him.
Oh my god!
It's kind of a thing of like, and that security guard I think has one of the worst jobs, because they just have to be facing away from the court, and so just all this action is going on. They're just watching to make sure no one crazy comes up and tries to get Jack's autograph or whatever.
Hopefully, he's not a basketball fan.
Yeah.
The guard?
Yeah. Because then he'd just be like, oh man, what's happening behind me? So a lot has happened since we last recorded. We went on a little holiday hiatus. So to catch up, we do a segment called Previously on Basketball.
Previously on Basketball.
Okay. LeBron will miss several games due to significant groin strain on Christmas Day. Indiana Pacers hire Kelly Klauskoff as NBA's first female assistant GM. Ratings for NBA games on Christmas Day are highest since 2011. Cantor with stitches unknowingly ejected during Knicks-Bucks fight. LeBron's comments on playing with Anthony Davis inspired NBA's email to teams about anti-tampering. KD says he wouldn't want to play with LeBron. LeBron was pissed. Ben Simmons was not impressed with Jazz fans' insults. After breaking his slump, Clay says, "I missed you," to his hand. Okay, so which one of these do we want to talk about? That last one, Clay, last night, they played against Portland in Portland.
The Warriors.
Yeah, Warriors. He started hitting threes and at one point turned to his hand and mouthed, "I missed you."
That's the corniest thing I've ever heard.
It's pretty great.
This guy's the worst. I don't like him. I'm sorry.
I kind of love him because, first of all, he's a huge weed boy.
Weed boy.
You know, he's a big pothead.
I would not say not so fast on that. as this tweet I retweeted that I retweet frequently shows, Clay is quoted as saying, "I don't smoke weed. I smoke clowns like you on the b-ball court." Show this, and it's a very serious photo of him standing against a wall. This is the thing he did with SI.
Why would he pair that photo with that?
I don't know.
Those were his choice.
So here's what I love about him.
Yes,
he is super corny. He's very ridiculous.
Right.
Taking Instagram models to an island is ridiculous, but. Everyone on the team says he's the funniest guy on the team.
Yeah.
Because I think they're laughing at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, he's an interesting character. I like Clay a lot. I mean, I like his game. I think he's a great shooter. His dad, Michael Thompson, was a Laker and is the color commentator for the Lakers radio broadcast.
Oh, cool.
And he is it's interesting to hear him talk about his son. Because he'll drop things on occasion of like, Clay doesn't get his paycheck. The paycheck comes to me. And then like, I give him like an allowance.
Oh, wow.
Because Michael Thompson is this famous like tightwad. He's like super, super strict with money. Huh. And I guess that's sort of like, that's continued on a generation. I like Clay a lot. And yeah, it is kind of like he's living out it's like almost like he was a little boy who got turned into a basketball player, and that's like the way he's living it
out.
Yeah, he got bigged, and now he's playing. Because that whole thing of like taking a bunch of Instagram models on a cruise for like a holiday. That's just such like the choice that like a teen boy would make. Yeah,
yeah.
Or I mean, it feels like a very teen boy thing to look at your hand and say, "I missed you." In that area,
he also like. There was a period of time, they don't do it so much anymore, but there was a period of time where Steph and Draymond had this prank going where whenever one was giving an interview, the other one would throw water on their head.
Oh, right.
And they were like trying to get each other. And then there's a great video that you can find on YouTube where Steph throws water on Clay's head and he just doesn't react. He continues with the interview and the lady, I think it might have been Roz who was interviewing him. She was like, "Aren't you going to say anything? You just got water dumped on your head." And he just like tried to answer her question.
That's the funniest choice you can make. Just not reacting to that. Yeah. And of course, the thing that got passed around a lot is when it was just like a random like New York like local news report where like just talk like they were just interviewing people on the street about scaffolding. And he was just like one of the people that got an interview.
They like didn't know who he was when they interviewed him. He was like, "Yeah, I'll talk about scaffolding."
Right.
I did not
so
see
strange.
That.
So we a couple other things on here. We actually have a clip. Do we want to play the LeBron clip where he's talking about KD?
Now, one of the guys people have sort of loved to, in their fantasy basketball, put you with is the idea of Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
He's got an option to become a free agent this summer. But then he had quotes recently saying that he doesn't think it's comfortable for other elite players to play with you. He called the media environment around you, quote, toxic. What did you think when you heard him say all that?
I was a little pissed off when I first heard it, to be honest. I didn't know where it stemmed from, so... I was pissed. My family was pissed. My friends was pissed. We just didn't know why, you know, at this point in time in the season that, you know, my name or what I've done in my career was kind of talked about like that. So, you know, I don't feel like it's ever been toxic around me. And when I hear toxic, I automatically thought like, you know, toxic is like you don't want to be around that because it's almost like a fatal disease. You don't want to be around that.
He goes on to say that he talked to Durant on the phone and they're cool now.
Yeah.
But
Katie probably came to him with his tail between his legs, like, I'm sorry.
He was probably, I think he, in the interview, LeBron says that Katie said that it was like twisted, his words were twisted, which is not true.
Yeah.
When I said toxic, I meant like the Britney Spears song.
Like super good and danceable.
Yeah.
But I would say that I wouldn't want to be around LeBron's media, you know, tornado.
I understand specifically for KD too, for like his self-interest of his whole thing of like the criticism he got for going to Golden State is that he joined a championship caliber team already.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is true, but was criticized for just being along for the ride. And if he goes and joins LeBron, it's just the sequel of that, right? Like it's again a situation where he's going to be the second banana to, you know, to Steph and then to LeBron. So I see it for his self-interest, him wanting to set something up on his own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he could
I don't
do
see
that
happening at all.
He could go to the Nets and be perfectly happy or whoever in New York Knicks. And
can anyone be perfectly happy on the Knicks? I don't know. It's a bold statement.
But you know, have his own team kind of like built around him.
Yeah, I kind of hope he does that because it would be good for the league to have him go someplace, especially go to the East and beef up that conference. By the way, that interview with LeBron, and he's talking to Rachel Nichols. Do you think while he was having that conversation, like from his point of view, she just kept turning into a giant glass of wine like in a cartoon?
Probably.
Yeah.
It was also, it aired on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So it was like right before the holidays. He's like, I just want to be cozying by a fire, drinking a huge glass of wine.
Four bottles of $500 Cabernet just for me.
Who's allowed to just show up to work with a glass of wine
that?
Like, I'm so
jealous.
Well,
he wasn't playing.
It's still his job. He was there. Like, he knows he's going to be on camera walking in with that glass of wine. I mean, it was a statement.
It's great. It's a power move. He's the best. It is. He has reached that threshold where, like, if that was your friend, you'd be a little worried about him.
Yeah.
Right. Like their Instagram and then maybe DM him. Like, hey, is everything all right, man? You're having a lot of wine.
Yeah. Should we talk about Anthony Davis and his little dinner with LeBron?
Right. Yeah, that was like, I mean, you know, because they had the whole tampering scandals a little bit in the rearview mirror now, LeBron's comments. And then they had, I guess, after the Lakers-Pelicans game, I did not go to that game, but I watched it on TV and the Lakers played really well and won. I guess they had a little dinner afterwards.
Mm. But I understand the NBA's concerns about tampering, but also...
But like what is the rule? Like, you're not allowed to like persuade people to come to your team.
I think that's the problem, is like, what is the rule?
Yeah,
it's
right.
So ambiguous, and it's so sporadically enforced.
Right.
Like if they want to have an anti-tampering rule, then like make it clear and enforce it, whether it's the best player face of the league or whether it's, you know, a GM somewhere just saying something in an interview.
Right. And like, was it an issue with Tyson Chandler, or did that just happen so fast that like nobody had time to be like, this is tampering?
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Cause it's like, you look at every time there's the free agencies, if tampering rules were actually enforced, like there, every agent and every, there'd be so many fines going around because free agency hits and then 1201, there are already deals in place. Like, there's no way this happened
in without, 1 minute.
Exactly. Yeah. No one picked up the phone at midnight, and then they faxed over a contract and got it signed in a 60-second span.
Yeah.
Also, journalists, you know, are going to continue to ask LeBron about this stuff. Like, do you want to play with Anthony Davis? And he said, yeah. And of course, he wants to play with Anthony Davis.
What's he supposed to say?
Yeah. Be like, no, screw that guy.
Yeah. All right, let's play this clip from Enes Kanter. Is it Enes? I don't know how to say his name.
I don't know.
What happened to your eye? And I know you've got stitches, correct?
Yeah, 3 stitches.
What's your take on what happened out there on the floor, and what was the deal with the second tech?
On what?
The second technical.
Did I get second technical? I got ejected? Whoa, doing what? I got ejected, really? Doing what? Well, I mean, I guess you gotta respect the refs, but whoa, okay, I got ejected. I mean, I was getting my eyes stitched, so got ejected. Cool.
He sounds like such a child.
I love his reaction, though. He is clearly hurt.
Yeah. So he got elbowed.
That rules. It's really
well,
funny.
He elbowed Giannis, and then Thon on the Bucks elbowed him and like caused that injury in his eye that he was getting stitched up.
Yeah.
I don't know why no one told him he was ejected. But I thought that was a funny reaction.
I thought that was funny too. So we watched, you very kindly came over to producer Gabe's house and watched with us the Bulls at Wizards game on December 28th, or that originally aired on December 28th.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was a podcast involved. You guys just said that and I was like, I'm in. And I watched a 2-day-old game between two of the league's worst teams for sure.
Wow. And we had some snacks out and really made it a party. So
great spread here. You guys have some great snacks.
Thank you.
That's like one of our key elements of basketball is just snack food related stuff.
That's true.
I will say, like, it was nice to have not just like, you know, because I mentioned earlier, like, I'm often a chips guy. It's nice just not just to have chips and dips. It was like you guys had some cheeses. You guys had some cucumbers and some carrots. You could dip in some hummuses. It was nice. Quite delightful.
We're Thank glad you. You enjoyed it.
Yeah. So let's meet the boys.
Real. Great group of guys.
So from the Wizards have a lot of injuries right now. So their starting team was...
You shall not pass!
Is that Gandalf?
I'm into it.
So the starting team is Thomas Satoransky, Bradley Beal, Trevor Ariza, Jeff Green, Thomas Bryant, and their coach is Scott Brooks. So we had four injured players, John Wall, Markieff Morris, Dwight Howard, and someone else.
Otto Porter Jr. was out.
Otto Porter Jr.
And then on the Bulls, we have...
The Bulls.
Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, Justin Holiday, Lauri Markkanen.
Markkanen?
Markkanen, sorry. Wendell Carter Jr. And their coach is Jim Boylan.
Yeah.
The newly appointed Jim Boylan.
Fred Hoiberg got fired midseason.
They brought in Boylan, and Boylan... No one likes it. It's been such a weird coaching situation there.
So we gave you the option to choose a game between a few options, and this is the one you wanted to watch.
It was because I watch mostly Lakers games, and I watch the other games I watch are, you know, big national games that tend to be teams that are good. And so I kind of felt like we're here in bowl game season. We're around the first of the year. You know, let's check out the Hindenburg Bowl. Let's watch two of the worst teams on bad trajectories, and let's see them flail at each other. And it really delivered. I mean, it was for the most part a pretty bad game.
Yeah.
It was competitive, but a lot of the basketball was not particularly fun to watch. It was a lot of injuries. Jim Boylan and Scott Brooks, both coaches, kind of look like they're men at the end of their rope. So that's a fun element to run with.
Yeah, I particularly like that you mentioned. I think it was Scott Brooks looks like he's in a local production of
Glengarry Glen Ross. Yeah, yeah.
Because he really does.
He does. Yeah.
He was barking on the side of the court, but he looks so sad.
They both look, Boylan and the Brooks, they both look like different kinds of dads on their way to family court. Like they both had different problems, both have different reasons their marriages failed, but they both failed.
Yeah.
It's true. So let's get into the game. All right, so the game starts off pretty slow, I feel like.
Very slow.
We've got announcer Kara Lawson introducing us to her niece at one point in the beginning.
That really was the highlight of the first, maybe the whole first half.
Yeah.
Because they showed a little girl in the crowd. And it was like, we were all like, oh, who is trying to figure out which child actor it was? And yeah. It was just the color commentator's niece. Yeah. I was like, all right, sure.
Why not? She was like, look who it is. Yeah. And we were all like, who?
We also learned pretty early on that the Bulls are last in the league in scoring. So we knew what we were in for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Wizards have had a horrible season.
They've had a rough time.
A lot of it had to do with the injuries.
Right. And very recently, like actually, I think the day after this game aired, we got the news that John Wall will be out for the rest of the season with his heel injury, which is a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was a lot of Bradley Beal carrying the load in this game.
And John Wall has been a real bad boy. He's been, yelling at his coach in the locker room.
Right.
This team has been involved in a lot of fights. So we just knew that. We were hoping that something would happen.
Right.
It didn't. Nothing dramatic happened, unfortunately. And also, they traded away the cutest boy in the league, Kelly Oubre. So maybe they're all just bummed about that, right? I would be.
Maybe they're sad they don't see his beautiful eyes anymore.
There used to be a hunk in this locker room.
Yeah, and I'm sure the crowd, and right. That was the other thing you were talking about, is the crowd was like very like energetic and full.
Yeah, pretty decent sized house. I mean, I guess this was a Friday night game around the holidays, so maybe some DC area people were looking for something to do. But I think the Wizards fans are pretty good, and I think the Bulls fans, are pretty show up at opposing arenas. So it was a pretty good crowd.
Yeah.
I'll say Thomas Bryant is a former Laker. He started at center for this game and had a pretty good game for the Wizards, and it's just nice to see him. I like, as a fan of like one team, when a young guy, because Bryant was on the Lakers for a season, maybe two seasons, spent a lot of time in the G League and played really well in the G League. Mm-hmm. It's exciting to see a guy like that go on to succeed. You kind of like are rooting for him. So mm-hmm. I'm glad he's having success with the Wizards. I hope he has a continued career in the NBA. He's a nice player.
He was helping out a lot in this game.
Yeah, he was great.
And we also learned that Beal was, at that point, second in the East for shooting. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
For scoring, I believe. Yeah.
After Kawhi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
After Kawhi. So, potential there.
Yeah. So we also, early on in the game, we have a loose ball foul. Do you know what this is, Nick?
What a loose ball foul is?
Yeah.
Yeah, just a foul that doesn't involve shooting.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do they know who it's on, though, if the ball's loose?
We have a lot of technical questions, so I apologize.
I think the refs are, there's three refs. They're looking around they're seeing if there's some sort of contact that there shouldn't be. If maybe two guys are going for the aforementioned loose ball. Maybe they're both diving for it and one of them makes an illegal move. I think that's what they're looking for.
Okay.
Speaking of refs,
I just felt very interrogated.
No, I'm sorry.
We just,
part of this lights are hot.
We don't know a lot, so we're trying to learn.
Yeah, we often hear things and we're like, okay, cool. That was, this type of foul or whatever. And then later on, we're like, wait, what does that mean?
Right.
So we're definitely still in the learning stages here. We also, there was a female ref for this game, which was really cool. And I was trying to look up her name and couldn't find her name in particular.
It's hard. The same thing, I was trying to figure out who the officiating crew was. And it's surprisingly hard to, maybe there's a resource for it, but it's surprisingly hard to find out which officials officiated which particular game in the past.
Yeah.
So I couldn't figure out exactly who it was, but we did learn that there, cause there's a number of women who are referees in the NBA. And we did learn that one of the female refs is married to one of the male refs.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
There's a little ref couple in the league,
which is so cute.
It's adorable.
I wonder if they met while calling a game together.
I really hope so.
Yeah. Locked eyes during a fight or something and trying to pull people apart. Okay. And it was love from that point on.
It's a real romantic comedy.
Yeah. So we ended the first quarter, if you guys don't have anything else to say about the first quarter, We ended the first quarter 22-20 with Washington in the lead. Pretty low score.
Very low.
Pretty low scoring. Yeah, it was not a lot happened. You know, there was nice. So Wendell Carter Jr. had a nice dunk and one. That was the one play that kind of stood out besides the little cut to the Wizards mascot Gee Whiz. That was the only other interesting thing.
Yeah. The mascot is so weird. I'm a big fan though. His name's Gee Whiz. He's a blue Muppet thing.
He's a monster. He's a blue monster. He's like the Jim Henson Workshop. They had a factory error. We're like, we need to get rid of this. The Wizards are like, we'll take it.
Yeah, they're like, what do we have in the warehouse?
Yeah.
Put a Wizards hat on him and send him out there.
We have this blue abomination that gonna put an off the shelf Wizards cap on from a Halloween store. And call him Gee Whiz. But yeah, they're just not a lot happening besides the and the niece shout out. The Wizards also have a very bad road record, which I'm not sure why that, maybe I wrote this down wrong, but you know, they really needed this home win because they're only 4-16 on the road apparently.
Yeah, that is what I heard as well. Yeah. And that's, I don't know, it makes me sad.
Yeah, I agree.
So we're going into the second quarter now.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at my notes now. I wrote down second quarter and next to it, I just wrote the word sucked.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
They did. Yeah.
The notes speak truth. There was
it's
a
very slow.
I think Lauri Markkanen dunked. And that was the most exciting thing that happened the entire second quarter.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was within the first couple minutes, and he had a pretty sick dunk.
Yeah.
And Thomas Bryant also had a really nice block. He had like really at the apex, just borderline goaltending, but it was a really really good rejection. But yeah, there was not a lot happened in this quarter. Very low scoring. I think it was still like, what was the score at the end of the second half?
It was
or then the first half or the first quarter?
42-40.
Yeah, so, I said it wrong. 22-20 at the end of the first quarter, right?
Yeah.
And then 42-40
at halftime.
Right, so yeah, not a lot of points were scored. And I think halfway through, most of those points in the second quarter happened in the second half of the second quarter.
Yeah.
But at the 7-minute mark or something, it was like 29-25. It was so low
scoring.
They
got a little fire under their butts
as
the halftime approach.
The announcers did say, like, if I don't know who was shooting free throws at the end of the second quarter, but if they hadn't made the free throws, it would have been the lowest scoring first half of the whole season.
Yeah, because there was just like a little flurry of ineptitude at the end of the half where it was, so there were in the final 2 seconds, there was a foul on the Wizards fucked up and had a foul on the Bulls, a non-shooting foul, but they were in the penalty, so the Bulls got 2 free throws. And then the other end, Beal drove to the other end and got fouled on a 3-point attempt with like 0.3 seconds left, and so he shot 3 free throws. So you had five free throws in the final two seconds that kind of bloated the score there.
Yeah, it was all free throws.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, what I watch basketball for.
Oh, for sure.
So now we're at halftime, and we see that they have a dance team like with both male and female dancers.
Mm-hmm. It's nice.
Every team should do that.
They really should. I'm surprised why I'm honestly shocked as someone who's been a Lakers fan that they still have Laker girls.
Yeah.
Like it does feel like such a retrograde thing that they don't just have, they don't for one, just call it like the dance team.
Right.
But then also like, yeah, making it gender inclusive, I thought was nice.
Yeah. We only got like 4 seconds of it, but we got the gist.
They seemed like good dancers, seemed really cool. And whenever there's a all female dance team, producer Gabe likes to say, finally, something for the fellas.
None of that boring basketball. Let's get to that dance team. This is why Dad bought these tickets.
Exactly. So maybe that's why it sticks around. But I feel like at this point, we're not in the 50s.
Right.
Let's get some male dancers out there who are also good and, you know, not make this a sexual thing.
For sure.
I just wrote for the third quarter, Ariza tried to do something fun.
Oh, because he tried to do that backwards.
Oh, that's right. He tried to do a layup behind him and it
didn't
work.
Yeah.
But at least he made an attempt to do something.
Yeah. Would have been nice if it worked out.
Yeah.
Wendell Carter Jr. had, you know, he had a really nice game, and he had some, he was playing well, scoring above a season average. There was a nice, Jeff Green had a baseline drive and dunk that was quite nice. Mm. I think the dominant element of the third quarter is there was like a 6-minute interview the sideline reporter from the Wizards. So we're watching the Wizards feed, and the sideline reporter for the Wizards is having an interview with his friend, the coach of the University of Cincinnati's football team. It's just like, wait, why are they interviewing this guy?
And for then
it,
so long.
It went on for so long, and then they like minimized the game. They like made it like a little like corner of the screen, and then had like the talking head interview be like almost the dominant element in the left corner. I was like, if I was a Wizards fan, I'd be so frustrated watching this broadcast.
Yeah, exactly. We were missing a lot of what was happening in the game, and this guy was not I think he was talking about like bringing his football players to a game.
Yes.
I don't know, I wasn't listening to him, I was protesting.
But it really did feel like, okay, we have to have something, so here's my niece, and cut to his friend.
I know.
I was like, they're just scrambling for things to talk about.
It felt like a favor was owed this U of Cincinnati coach.
I mean, if it was like during a timeout or something, then sure, but like, why during gameplay?
Right, or if you got a local guy who played for the Washington, you know, the Wizards or the Bullets. Like, if you got like a legend, a Hall of Famer, or someone you got to spend some time with, I get that. But like, this was just such a tenuous connection to the event. It was so weird. We also too the Wizards announcer Buck. You know, I think the we're giving him a little bit of a hard time, but the Wizards announcer team I think is pretty good. Mm. But Buck had a way of articulating the Bulls player. Archie Diacono. And it felt like he kept emphasizing it more, like as the game progressed, he got more into like Archie Diacono. It just kept heightening.
Yeah, it made it sound like there was a guy named Archie with the last name of Diacono. Yeah.
Right.
And it was a weird pronunciation. But that being said, Archie Diacono was playing a lot in the second half. And, you know, doing okay. He's on the Bulls.
Is he the surfer guy?
No, the surfer guy was named Baker.
Okay.
He was also on the Bulls, I believe.
Right, Ron Baker, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ron Baker's like, he just looks like he's playing the wrong sport.
Yeah.
He should be in the X Games or something.
Skateboarding.
Yeah,
he should
exactly.
be like, yeah, like a snowboarder. Yeah. He's got like long feathered 70s hair.
Yeah.
He's very beefy and not terribly tall. I mean, he's probably like 6-something, but
yeah, not very tall in NBA terms, but he's not, you know, he looks like a guy who would be like doing a gnarly 1080 kickflip or something. Like, he doesn't look like a guy who'd be playing basketball, but he did a nice job.
Yeah.
If I were shooting a 70s period piece surfer movie, I would have him be an extra.
Yeah. No one's ever surfed a big Kilauea before.
Yeah. That's his one line.
Yeah.
So in the second half, Bradley Beal kind of steps it up. I feel like he's really doing some dunks. He's doing 3-pointers. He didn't get any 3-pointers the whole first half, but he starts swishing them in.
Yeah, that was kind of the story of the second half was, you know, one of the stories of the second half was Beal sort of stepping it up and sort of taking over, and maybe he just needed to do just a little bit more because the Wizards are so shorthanded.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had some nice plays. He had a really sick... Are we going to the fourth quarter now?
Yeah, so the third quarter ended 72-74.
So it's been neck and neck the whole time.
Yeah.
To this point.
So there was a really nice... Beal had like a really sick two-handed dunk. It's kind of the highlight play, I think, of the game in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of drove and just threw it down and just hung on the rim for a second. It was fucking
rad. He dunked on Robin Lopez, who is significantly taller than he is.
Yeah.
And hung on the rim. It was beautiful.
Lopez kind of, I feel like, ducked away a little bit. Like, he saw what was coming. Was like, okay, I need to get out of this highlight as much as possible. And Lopez had a pretty nice game. You know, he was hitting some, his post play was pretty nice. He was playing pretty well overall, but that one, Beal got the best of him.
So Lopez kept doing this move where he would hunch. He's a very, very tall man. And he would hunch over while dribbling and backing up to the basket. And then he would turn around, stand up his full height, and just like throw the ball in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Agata said he's very caveman-like.
Yeah.
It felt caveman-ish. Yeah.
Go on.
I was just going to say his hair helps too.
Yeah, it definitely is kind of like that sort of that sort of vibe. Like he's a nice player. I like both Lopez brothers and he's like your very vivid description of his post play. I think it was spot on. That's pretty much what was happening. He was hitting that hook quite a bit. Hit it from the baseline. Hit it facing up. So Robin Lopez has a well-known, you know, feud with all the league's mascots, and he got into it with the aforementioned G-Wiz a little bit.
Yeah, Nick showed us a clip.
Yeah, they didn't, because I'd seen the clip, and they didn't show it on the Wizards broadcast, and yeah. I don't know if that was the kind of thing of, like, we can't be showing this. But he got into it a little bit. G-Wiz was egging him on, and Robin took it to him.
Notorious mascot hater.
Yeah. Which is the funniest label to have. Some headline said notorious mascot bully Robin Lopez. Leave the mascots alone.
Does he do it with multiple teams? Like,
yeah,
every team he plays,
he's been doing it for a bit now. And you know, I think it's all good natured, but it's fun. It's an ongoing thing. There was also, we were talking about Bradley Beal. He had another nice sequence here. He missed a three, got his own rebound, stepped back, and then hit a three.
Oh, yeah.
And that was just, that could have been a big momentum shift, but it was just a little too late.
It was really good.
Yeah.
I like when people get their own rebounds.
Yeah. You mentioned that Robin Lopez is a brother, and there's another player on the Bulls, Justin Holiday, who's part of the Holiday Brothers.
Yeah, Drew Holiday. He's on the Pelicans.
Yeah, and then Markieff Morris on the Wizards, who didn't play tonight, but he has a brother named Marcus Morris,
yes,
right?
Yes, on the Celtics.
There's so many brother combos in the NBA right now. I don't know if it's always that way.
I don't know.
But it seems wild just how many brothers there. There's the Hernan Gomez brothers.
Right.
There's the Currys.
Yeah, the Gasols.
I mean,
yeah, it seems like there's a number of good, like, quality NBA players that have siblings, and that's, yeah, it's fun. It's a fun little layer.
Yeah,
yeah, the Morris twins. They're twins. Yeah, like the Lopez is also twins.
Mm.
But they were together on the Suns for a time. And
that's
then they
cute.
Actually, yeah, they were together on the Suns, and then this is a thing, another Robert Sarver thing. They signed a deal to stay together, and then the Suns traded one of them.
No.
So like that would they separated the guys, and then that led to a big acrimonious split. I forget who stayed with the Suns, but it was a pretty it ended up being a big thing where they had to get rid of him, the other twin, eventually, because he was just so pissed off at what they'd done.
What a That's jerk.
So I know.
Sad.
That's the most villainous thing you could do, is separating twins.
It really it's a thing that villains do in movies.
Yes.
There's a movie called Sophie's Choice that is built around the premise that the villain separated two siblings.
Oh, my God.
It's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
Or what's that documentary that came out recently with the
three identical strangers?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That was so fucked
that
up.
That was really fucked up. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man.
It's a great documentary that I went in to it thinking, oh, feel good documentary.
Yeah.
This will be fun. And it took so many dark turns that
it's
I did
really
not
up.
Expect.
Yeah. I agree.
Everyone go out and watch it.
Yeah.
Watch it with your family.
Yeah.
Hold them tight.
The Mr. Rogers documentary, too. So
yeah.
many dark turns.
Really?
Not really.
Okay.
Well, kind of.
Kind of a little bit.
There was the part where it was like, I guess 9/11 happens. And
oh,
he's
yes,
like,
yeah.
I can't change this world.
Yeah.
You got to check it out.
Yeah. So what else happened in the third quarter?
In the fourth already.
Oh, the fourth, I mean.
Yeah, we had Chris Dunn had he put him up. He had an and one and put him up 10 with 2:20 to play, and that was kind of it. Or no, that was not an and one, right? Sorry, the and one came from Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine. Right?
He dribbled out basically the entire shot clock, and then blew by Trevor Ariza and scored an and one, and that sealed it. Yeah, and I mentioned while we were watching, and we all kind of had a shared observation of like. The Wizards were within seven with like 2 minutes to play. It was like it's still a winnable game.
Yeah.
And there's just a total lack of urgency from their side.
Yes.
It was just like it felt like they were already conceding the game when they could have maybe been you know, scrambling for some loose balls a little bit, playing a little bit more aggressive defense, trying to execute a little bit more crisply offensively, and they just weren't doing it, and it felt like a defeated team. I know that's kind of how they are. Hey, you got that vibe from just looking at Scott Brooks on the sideline.
Yeah, totally.
Scott Brooks, who just like the vibe he was giving off was just Gil from The Simpsons.
Yes, exactly.
You gotta help old Scott here, but I got nothing. Yeah. I'm out of plays.
And the end of the fourth quarter, it was so weird. Like, yeah. There was a weird play where everyone's just dropping the ball and falling on it.
Yeah, it was like the Ten Stooges.
Yeah, and it was a very lethargic, it was very lethargic. Like, there wasn't like a lot of like oh, we got to get the ball. It was just right. Sort of like, oh, there it is. Like, oh, wait, you know, like no one was really... felt like wanted it.
Yeah.
And so yeah, we end up with the Bulls winning by a little bit of a margin there.
I forget, it was 101-92 at the end.
Yeah.
And probably, yeah, the last few minutes were probably the boringest part of the game.
Yeah, it got pretty got pretty dull.
Yeah, they'd given up by that point.
So do you two not like basketball anymore?
You ruined it for us.
The podcast is over. All right.
It definitely was the worst game we've watched so far. But we want to watch every team, so...
Yeah, this was a great opportunity to talk about two teams that we hadn't talked about before.
Right.
And yeah, we want to cover every team, even the little sad guys at the bottom. We give out awards at the end of every game called the Donkeys.
Donkeys!
So, yeah, so this is the part of the show where we point out the things that really stood out to us
right.
as we were watching the game.
So we always give an award for most points.
Yeah. So
that'll be the Bulls.
Yes.
Wow. Congrats to the Bulls. I mean, that's really the award you want to win. Of all the Donkeys, the most coveted one is most points.
We got to do one for best mascot. I feel like G-Wiz has got to take it.
What's your definition of best?
Is it worst? Is that what you think best means? They're not synonyms.
Is this a best Michael Jackson
is like
bad
more fun?
I might give it to Benny the Bull in absentia. I think the Bull's mascot might take it.
So all Benny right. the Bull is like a cute. He almost looks like a cartoon character. He's got huge eyes that look sad.
Yeah,
soulful.
One
eyes.
Big eyebrow. One big unibrow.
Right.
What do you think, Anastasia?
God, I don't know.
We got a dissenting opinions here.
You know what? I'm going to give it to G-Wiz
yes.
only because he took that hit from Robin Lopez.
Yeah.
And he's a good sport about it.
Took it like a champ.
Yeah.
Can I give one?
Yeah, yes. Of course.
I'm going to give an award for best dunk.
Mm.
Dunk of the game. Dunky for best dunk. Bradley Beal, that sick two-handed slam-a-jamma.
Yeah.
Brought the house down. Could have lit a fire under the Wizards, unfortunately didn't, but still a sick dunk just to watch in isolation.
It was very cool.
That was a good one.
I mean, that's what Dunktown is all about, right?
Yeah.
Some fucking awesome dunks.
Yeah.
That was a great one.
That's where we live.
Dunk.
We live in Dunktown. What about best niece?
Wow. I mean, you know.
So many contenders.
Yeah, there really are a lot of options here. But I think we got to give it to the Wizards color commentator's niece for being the one who was
Carol Lawson's niece.
Carol Lawson's niece. Yeah, she was she was very adorable when they showed her on the camera.
True. Best hair?
Okay, I think best hair has to go to the Bulls because they have two players with wild hair.
Who other than Robin Lopez?
Little Baker.
Little Baker.
I believe Ron Baker is on the
Wizards. Oh, is he on the Wizards?
Yeah.
Darn it. I thought he was on the Bulls.
I don't know. I mean, I almost just want to say best hair is everyone except for the Bulls coach Jim Boylan, who's a cue ball. Because there is a lot of good hair in this game.
Okay.
I mean, I think, you
I
know,
agree.
even Lauri Markkanen, he's got just like that little like sort of like untamed curl. Like he's just sort of like, you know, He's got that the hair that would be on your crush at summer camp.
Yeah.
Like this sort of like delicate.
Dreamy.
Like, exactly. Yeah. Delicate, dreamy
okay,
hair.
I'm going to give best hair to all players.
Great.
Yeah.
Thomas Bryant's got a nice high top fade. Yeah, a lot of good hair.
We didn't have any good shoes, so I think we'll skip that one.
It was kind of a boring shoe game, unfortunately. It was like they were trying to make sure that there was nothing entertaining on the court.
We kept seeing a bench player with rose gold shoes, but we couldn't tell who he was.
Couldn't identify it. Yeah.
How about coach?
Oh, God.
Best coach of this game?
That's going to be a sad...
I don't know. I mean, you know, you want to throw one of these guys a bone. They've both been having a rough go of it. I guess Jim Boylan, just because they won, and they won on the road, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although he seems like a piece of shit. I would hate to play for him. He like yells at his players and makes them do extra practices they don't want to do. You know what? I'm going to give it to Scott Brooks.
Okay.
Scott Brooks needs a win.
Sure.
Scott Brooks needs a little something.
Yeah.
His house is getting foreclosed on or something.
Oh.
It looks like everything's going poorly for him. Do you guys know Jeff Van Gundy's a color commentator, or he's a TV commentator, but he was the coach for the is an NBA coach for a while, was a coach for the Knicks, and there was an incident where his car was like he like drove to the tarmac to get on the team plane. And then, like, either high winds or it might have been the exhaust from a plane blew his car over and totaled it.
Oh, my God.
And then the details were it was like a 96, like, Nissan Sentra or something. It was, like, not like a nice car. It's just like, man, that guy's having a rough go of it.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Yeah.
The ultimate sad. He's just looking at his 96 Sentra turned over.
Still owes like 10 grand on it. Oh, man.
Wow. So this is a big upset. We've got Wizards with 4 donkeys and Bulls with 1.5 because of the all players thing.
Okay.
Wow.
So Wizards win the game.
All right. Congratulations to the Washington Wizards.
Amazing. Even with all those players injured.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their official league record may not reflect it, but it's reflected here in Dunktown, and that's what really matters.
So our next game is going to be the Grizzlies.
You must never listen to this.
That is from Grizzly Man.
Yeah, versus the Spurs. And that's going to be on January 5th.
Yes.
And then...
Hey, speaking of brothers, should be to see a brother match up there. The Gasol's going at it.
Oh, I knew one was on the Spurs, but the other one's on...
Powell's on the Spurs and Mark's on the Grizzlies.
Nice.
So there you go.
Cool. We love it when brothers play because they're really cute.
There was a... Just really quickly... The Curry brothers played last night and they exchanged jerseys, which I was like, couldn't you do this at home?
I know.
Yeah.
You guys just saw each other for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But it was really cute. They were like, they were a little standoffish than I would hope brothers would be, but they were like, you know, enjoying each other's company.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into our mail basket segment. This is,
well, they say that the mailman always delivers.
You got mail.
This is the part of the show where our cute little fans write to us.
If you haven't written to us yet, please do. We've been really enjoying these emails.
Yeah, you can email us at hi@dunk.town or you can tweet us at Dunktown Podcast. This email is from Timon Kamsey, and he says, "Hey, Agata and Anastasia, love the podcast. I just started getting into b-ball this May and have been looking for content examining at the stuff I'm interested in, like who's the best big boy, Coach Budenholzer's name being appropriately Midwestern, and the wealth and the wealth of hashtags for the Bucks. I'm a Celtics fan, and I was hoping you could help the team come up with a better hashtag than hashtag see us rise, which is a confusing bummer on so many levels. Also, I grew up in Tucson as well, and I'm always excited to hear it mentioned in any out-of-state context. Keep doing your thing, and thanks very much for the content."
Thanks for the email.
Thank you.
It's C with a letter C, right?
Yeah.
Us rise. Yeah, that's
see
terrible.
See us rise.
It's really bad.
So you're good at hashtags, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm a hashtag whiz. this is for the Boston Celtics.
Yes.
My most hated team. hashtag toilet guys. Hashtag trash franchise. Hashtag notorious cheaters.
Wow.
Wow. This is a great question for you, then.
I know. I'm so glad we...
we brainstormed some. Do you want to share some of yours?
Yeah, I think okay, if we're doing like legit hashtags, I think my best ones were Green Machine, which is a juice I really like.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Or Clover Clan.
Okay.
But if we want to go jokey, I also said Leprechaun Returns starring Warwick Davis. I think Beantown Babies might be fun.
Okay.
What are some of yours?
I think my favorite one that I came up with was Kyrie's cuties.
That's good. That's a good
It
one.
Doesn't really work if he gets traded.
Right. Or... That's the issue there. But it does maybe kind of lock him in. So. Yeah.
We've got maybe hashtag Celt Belt, hashtag Celt City. I think the thing is, like, what is a Celtic? What does it mean?
They're just an Irish type of person.
Yeah. It's a drunk Irish American guy. Who's upset that they're busing minorities into a school district.
Okay.
Gabe had a good hashtag, Holmes and Boston, current movie tie-in.
That's pretty good. I mean, the current movie tie-in thing as a sell-by date, but yeah. It would work for now.
You had flat earth dunkers. That's pretty good.
For Kyrie's.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think... those are all.
We had a lot of bad ones.
Hey, I think they're all good, and the Celtics should consider all of them that we said, including Knicks.
Boys, would you say?
Toilet guys. Oh, yeah. They're all an improvement over CS Rise. That's just a mess.
Yeah, horrible. It's really bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Do you have anything you would like to plug?
Oh boy. You know, check out Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants hosted by me and a Celtics fan, but he's still worth hearing what he has to say. Mike Mitchell. We review places like you review sit down chains like Olive Garden, Red Lobster, and fast food chains like, you know, Wendy's and Taco Bell. And we put some real thought into it. It's real dumb. Check that out.
Everyone should check out your Patreon.
Oh yeah, if you,
get
I mean
on your Patreon.
You know, listen to the free episodes, and if you like it, you can subscribe at patreon.com/doughboys, but you know, listen to the free episodes first and see if you do before committing those $5.
Great show. We all love it.
Yeah.
God bless you. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. So you can check out our website at dunk.town. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Dunktown Podcast. Thank you to Andrea Tomingas and Andrew Clotworthy for our design and our song. Rate and review us on iTunes, please. And you can always contact us at hi@dunk.town and just send us whatever your thoughts are.
Nick, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, guys. A real treat. A delight. What wonderful to watch this game. Oh. And now after enduring that bad basketball, I'm going to go pay a little tribute to the king by drinking a case of Pinot Noir.
Yeah. Ooh,
will you tell him that we said happy birthday?
I will. I'll pass that along. He'll hear this.
Yeah, he'll know.
All right. Love you.
Love you. Bye.